ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from 5th canto, chapter 19, titled The Island of Jambudvip, text number 26. Jai Shraddhaya Barhishi Bagasho Havir. Jai Shraddhaya Barhishi Bagasho Havir. Niruptam Mishtam Vidhi Mantra Vashtuta. Niruptam Mishtam Vidhi Mantra Vashtuta. Eka Prittam Namavi Rahuto Mudha. Eka Prittam Namavi Rahuto Mudha. Grinati Purna Swayam Ashisham Prabhu. Grinati Purna Swayam Ashisham Prabhu. Jai Shraddhaya Barhishi Bagasho Havir. Niruptam Ishtan Vidhi Mantra Vashtuta. Eka Prittam Namavi Rahuto Mudha. Grinati Purna Swayam Ashisham Prabhu. Prabhus, please repeat. Jai Shraddhaya Barhishi Bagasho Havir. Niruptam Ishtam Vidhi Mantra Vashtuta. Eka Prittam Namavi Rahuto Mudha. Swayam Ashisha Prabhu. Mothers. Jashvadhaya Varishi Bhagasho Havir. Nirupta Mishtam Vidhi Mantra Vashtuta. Eka Prittam Namavi Rahuto Mudha. Grinati Purna Swayam Ashisha Prabhu. Jai. By whom? The inhabitants of Bharatvarsha. Shraddhaya. Faith and confidence. Barhisi, in the performance of Vedic ritualistic sacrifices. Bhagasaha, by division. By division. Habihi, oblations. Niruptam, offered. Ishtam. To the desired deity. Viti. By the proper method. Mantra. By reciting mantras. Vashtuta. With the proper ingredients. Ekaha. That one Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pritak. Separate. Namabihi. By names. Ahuta. Called. Mudha. With great happiness. Grinati. He accepts. Purnaha. The Supreme Lord. Who is full in himself. Swayam. Personally. Asisham. Of all benedictions. Prabhu. The bestower. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In India, Bharatvarsha, there are many worshippers of the demigods. The various officials appointed by the Supreme Lord, such as Indra, Chandra, and Surya, all of whom are worshipped differently. The worshippers offer the demigods their oblations, considering the demigods parts and parcels of the whole, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts these offerings and gradually rises the worshippers to the real standard of devotional service by fulfilling their desires and aspirations. Because the Lord is complete, he offers the worshippers the benedictions they desired, even if they worship only part of his transcendental body. Please repeat. In India, Bharatvarsha, there are many worshippers of the demigods, the various officials appointed by the Supreme Lord, such as Indra, Chandra, and Surya, all of whom are worshipped differently. The worshippers offer the demigods their oblations, considering the demigods part and parcel of the whole, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts these offerings and gradually rises the worshippers to the real standard of devotional service by fulfilling their desires and aspirations. Because the Lord is complete, he offers the worshippers the benedictions they desired, even if they worship only part of his transcendental body. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In Bhagavad Gita 9.13, Lord Krishna says, Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakriti ashridaha bhajanti ananyamanaso gyatva buddhadim avyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Mahatmas, advanced devotees, worship only the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Others, however, who are also sometimes called Mahatmas, worship the Lord as Ekatvena Pritaktvena. In other words, they accept the demigods as different parts of Krishna and worship them for various benedictions. Although the devotees of the demigods thus achieve the desired results offered by Krishna, they have been described in Bhagavad Gita as Rita Jnana, not very intelligent. Krishna does not desire to be worshipped indirectly through different parts of his body. Krishna wants direct devotional service. sorry, Krishna wants direct devotional worship. Therefore, a devotee who directly worships Lord Krishna through staunch devotional service, as recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tivrena Bhakti Yogana Jayata Purusham Parama, is very quickly elevated to the transcendental position. Nevertheless, devotees who worship the demigods, the different parts of the Lord, receive the benedictions they desire because the Lord is the original master of all benedictions. If anyone wants a particular benediction, for the Lord to award it is not at all difficult. Mama Gyana Timirandasya Janan Janasavakaya Chakshurunilitam Jena Tasvai Sri Guravedama Mam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashtaya Bhutale Shumate Jaya Pataka Swamiti Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashtaya Bhutale Shumate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesha Sundyavari Paschatya Deshatarine. So, this fifth canto describes how different inhabitants of different parts of the world, of the universe, worship the Supreme Lord. And in the different explanations or different descriptions, different qualities of the Lord are presented. This canto, particularly, it's very technical. I have to admit, it's way beyond my level. But many devotees have sat here throughout this canto. The presentation of this canto have given a very nice, lucid explanations of different things, how the universe is portrayed in the scriptures, time and all this Vedic cosmology. Now, throughout all these presentations, we have to remember that Bhagavatam has a very particular purpose. And the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to know what Krishna wants, right? Bhagavad Gita starts with, what is best for me? Arjuna asks Krishna. And at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, surrender unto me. Right? It is explained that Srimad Bhagavatam starts where Bhagavad Gita ends. So the point here is to, or the purpose of the Bhagavatam is to explain how do we surrender unto Krishna. 17,000 verses. Yeah? 17,000 verses. Many stories, many incarnations, many devotees, many pastimes. But the essential lesson that we can take from Bhagavatam is who is Krishna and who we are in relationship with Him. So the essential point is, what does Krishna want from each one of us? Right? Bhagavatam is for each one of us, especially for those who are born in this age of Kali. Srimad Bhagavatam explains that when the question is asked where Dharma, where religiosity has gone now that after Krishna departed from this world, so the answer is that Dharma is here. Krishna is here in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam is glorified in that sense. If we want to know Krishna, we have to approach Bhagavatam. So, and we can go on about describing this glorious aspect of the Lord and of His representation of the, in the book form, Bhagavatam form. Srimad Bhagavatam means the beautiful narrations about Krishna that are not different from Him. So if we hear about Krishna, then Krishna will manifest. Prabhupada explains this. If we listen attentively to Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see Krishna face to face in every page. Right? And as I said, that we can go on describing these things, but there is a problem. Right? And this is something that may appeal to some of you or a few of you. And that what happens when Krishna doesn't manifest, or why Krishna doesn't manifest in every page? For example, it is explained that if we chant Krishna, Krishna, it's not different from his name. So when we chant Krishna's name, we should be experiencing Krishna. And the acharyas explain that if somebody is experiencing Krishna, then we will be crying and we will be experiencing all these ecstasies, right? But that doesn't happen. So part of Krishna's presentation, or part of the Bhakti Shastras, is to explain what to do when things do not work. And why is it that it's not working? When we have a, I think I referred to this some time ago in a previous class, when we have a manual for a camera or for some device, we have at the on the back side of the manual, we have a troubleshooting section, right? What to do when things don't work, right? So the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, have that part included in several sections, right? So what happens, or why is the reason that things don't work, right? So when we see the troubleshooting section of a manual, we see probable causes, right? And what to do. Generally we have that, those indications. So here, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that the problem here is because of material desires. That's, to put it very in a very simple way. Psychologist and therapist, they can go to a great length explaining, you know, why you become dysfunctional in this world. I happen to have to read a lot of those stuff in my studies. But Prabhupada, it's very blunt and very direct. The problem are your material desires. That's very simple, simply put. And you can read that from the Prabhupada's very basic instructions. In the very early days, he would say things like that. The problem is your material desires. So, what to do? Here we are with this great process, according to the Shastra, the highest process of upliftment, but we're stuck. That's the reality for some of us. Can't generalize, but to whoever appeals this, then you may take note. First of all, we have to define a few things. Just like when you have an injury, broken bone or something like that, what happens, you are assessed, you are reviewed. And then somebody takes an x-ray, or scan, or something like that. Some kind of assessment to see what's wrong with you, right? So the Shastras explain what's wrong with us is that we have material desires, right? That's the plain explanation. And for many years I have heard how we have to get rid of these material desires, how we have to, you know, attack them, identify them for destruction. So many times that we hear these things. However, still we struggle. Still devotees, even very advanced devotees at times, find difficulties in managing these material desires. We have also in our movement, unfortunately in one sense, but fortunately in another, because we can learn from the mistakes of the past and the achievements as well. What to do with material desires. So Srila Prabhupada in this purpose, especially in the next one, text 27, he will address this. So the first point is that before entering into analyzing what, how do you define material desires, the verse that Srila Prabhupada often quoted when describing this problem is Akama Sarva Kamova. Is it 2:3:10, second canto, third chapter, text number 10. The famous verse, Akama Sarva Kamova. What does that mean? That kama means desire. So akama means if you have no desire, sarva kama means if you have all desires, moksha kama, if you have the desire for being freed from this material world, whatever your condition is, tibrena bhakti yogena. That's what Prabhupada refers to. Whatever your condition is, take this same medicine, devotional service. Right? Again, many of us can attest, we take to devotional service, we chant Hare Krishna, we take initiation, and still we struggle. So what to do? Right? As I said, fortunately or unfortunately, our history in our movement has shown that what I'm saying, it is a fact. Some devotees, some of us, we struggle with material desires. So in order to try to find some cues of how to address this problem, let's refer to what Krishna says. First of all, Krishna's presentation of the Vedic philosophy, like in Bhagavad Gita, or through his representatives, acharyas, of different devotional scriptures. The first point is the material desires are any desire that is separated from Krishna. That's the basic definition. Any desire that is separated from Krishna's desire, right? That is a material desire, right? So that's pretty dooming statement, because many of us, if we reflect, if we go deep, we will find a lot of those such desires that may not, I mean, sometimes we become expert in justifying such desires. Oh, I want a big house or a big car or a lot of, wealth or, you know, health or beauty or knowledge for serving Krishna. Sometimes we become quite expert at that. And instead of becoming, prosecutors and executioners of our own faults, we become advocates. And we are campaigning and trying to justify my fallen condition. But Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, in several parts, he points this out. He defines this attitude as less intelligent. People who have material desires are less intelligent. So it's a humbling statement, because that's the simple formula. You have material desire, you have less intelligence, right? So that's a good position to be. Arjuna, from the beginning of the Gita, he admits, I don't know what to do, I don't know what's best for me. Here I am, the emperor, one of the emperors of the world, you know, so beautiful, so opulent, so intelligent, so well-trained, the best families. Still, he didn't know what to do. He was confused, right? So there is a time always in our life, especially in a spiritual life, where we may be confused, where we may not know what to do. So, going back to the material desires analysis, Krishna defines this as Rita Jnana. Rita Jnana means, or sometimes it's explained as someone whose intelligence has been stolen, right, by the witch of Maya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So this fifth canto emphasizes, amongst all the technical descriptions, all the cosmology and geographical descriptions that we find here, that there is some essential, in the very same essential message, worship Krishna. Right? But how do we do that? Again, we have the same problem. Many of us come to the movement, as I said, take somewhat seriously Krishna consciousness, or at times seriously, and then we face problems. Sometimes we even leave the movement for a few years, or for good, at least for the remaining of my lifetime. Again, we have those examples as well. So, in previous verses, the Bhagavatam, the narration explains that the glories of Bharatvarsha. Now let's be more specific in the context of this canto. Why being born in India, it is so important. Huh? Even Lord Chaitanya instructs all those who are born in India to take this message and bring it around the world, right? So Bharatvarsha refers to India. Sometimes Prabhupada would explain Bharatvarsha refers to the whole planet. Because at one point, the whole planet was Bharatvarsha, governed by the central office, I guess in India, by the emperors of the world. So, the first statement that I said in regards of what's the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to know what Krishna wants. And what we are discussing right now is why do we have problem applying what Krishna wants? We know what Krishna wants. Many of us have been in the movement for some time. So now we may say, yeah, I know what Krishna wants. Krishna wants me to surrender. Krishna wants me to render devotional service. Krishna wants me to chant Hare Krishna. Many things we know that Krishna wants us to do. But we are facing this problem. So the point of a troubleshooting section in any manual is what to do. I mean, sometimes maybe some who have more of a, I don't know, engineering mind would like to, you know, when computers or mobile phones now, like mini computers, you know, sometimes you have these friends, even here in Mayapur, you know, sometimes when my computer doesn't work or the iPhone or something, then we go to those, you know, everybody knows who are the experts here. So we go to them and tell them, oh, you know, I have a problem with my computer. Can you do something, right? For them, I have observed, it's a pleasure to understand what's wrong. And they can go for elaborate explanations. What's wrong with the computer? What's wrong with the mobile phone? This chip, this, you know, memory, RAM, and all these sort of technical things. But basically you, which who are a user of this device, you want to know what to do. You're willing to pay, no problem, buy something, whatever, but you want it to work, right? That's what you want. So here in Krishna consciousness, luckily we have many intelligent devotees who analyze these things, who explain these things very nicely, very elaborately. But here, the fallen ones, we just want to know what to do, right? So Srimad Bhagavatam explains that, what to do. I'm just going to say it. Just trying to build up a bit of a expectation here. And by the example of great devotees, we also can learn what to do because they are doing it. So it works for them, right? So the sequence of these verses in the fifth canto explain a few things. The benefit of Bharatvarsha, as I said, in context with the chapter. The benefit of Bharatvarsha is because in this country, this tract of land, Varnashram Dharma is present, somewhat present, or at least comparatively present. Right? And Prabhupada explains, because these four divisions, varnas and ashrams, then we have hope to advance. Right? If varnashram dharma is established, then we have hope. Now, be pacified. I won't delve into varnashram dharma talk. That's not my field. I'm not plowing the fields or working with the cows. I'm doing some other service. But this is what Bhagavatam explains in this section. Because varnashram dharma is manifest somewhat here, to some extent, this is a great benefit. Now, Prabhupada explains something very amazing while I was reading all the different texts and explanations that Prabhupada gives, that the success of varnashram dharma is that you obtain sadhu sangha, right? You obtain the association of saintly people. So the society in general cooperates, like Krishna recommends in the beginning of the Gita, the third chapter, says cooperate. This is jagya, this is sacrifice, the sacrifice of cooperation. Humans are meant to cooperate. Prabhupada often, even in the early days of ISKCON, 60s, he says so many wars despite the United Nations, and so many more wars are happening, right? Now there's, again, this Palestine-Israel situation, and Ukraine, all these wars are happening, right? So we can see how the opposite of what Krishna recommends in Bhagavad Gita is happening in chaos. It's created all around. And the spiritual life of people also is affected. You know, you are in stress, and so your mind is all disturbed. Your loved ones are dying, your property is taken away, etc. You know, so it's not an auspicious condition. So, varnashram dharma, one point, but the result of that, let's say, social piety, it's sadhu sangha. Right? I don't know if that's your experience, but personally, I'm trying to make it realistic. Right? Sometimes in different temples that I have served, when everything is, what's the buzzword? What's the popular word now? The synergy, right? The synergy is there. So everyone is functioning like in a family, you know, things are working fine, people are cooperating, etc. You can not only feel that, you can see in practical terms how this auspiciousness manifests. And as I was saying, in different temples where I had the opportunity to do some service, when things were working well, you can see the blessings, deities were installed, or the sannyasis will come, or preachers, or you know, a great devotee, Prabhu, Mataji, a super cook, very nice pujari, a great kirtaniya. Even sometimes young devotees will join and they have so many talents. You can see the blessings are sent if things are auspicious in a particular area, temple, in your life, in your family. You can feel the blessings coming to you. So this is human intelligence. This is what the Vedic scriptures are recommending, that we do things right. But again, we go back to the default position. But I can't do things right. So what? Why is that? So again, we're stuck. We fix the computer, we change the hard drive. I'm not an expert in that area, but whatever. We bought more RAM memory, all the things that we can do. But again, it gets stuck. Again. So again, the same problem, material desires. So the instruction here, as I said, it's sadhu sangha. And what happens when you have sadhu sangha? Because sometimes we see a great saint comes around, a sannyasi, a famous preacher, and then many of us, we go there, we get blessings, right? That's a even natural thing. Here, you see when sannyasis come, you know, people just flock to get that person's blessing. It's a standard practice here. Srila Prabhupada explains that the result of sadhu sangha is that you engage in Krishna seva. You engage in service. Not that you just go and ask for blessings so I can get good health, good wealth, good progeny, and everything goes fine. My daughter gets a good job. My sons get, you know, well-behaved and that sort of things, and I can live happily for as ever after lasts. No. The point of sadhu sangha is that I want to do some service. Right? Now, we may say, what happens with material desires? Well, never mind, Bhagavatam says. In one sense. It's not never mind, because it's very strong about material desires. But in one sense, it says, never mind, just carry on doing your service. Many times, devotees told Prabhupada, I'm very fallen. If you read some of the early biographies, some things very gross, like, you know, I'm addicted to this, I'm addicted to that. They would tell Prabhupada. Prabhupada will just, you know, how? You know, sometimes Prabhupada said it's like washing coal. Is it coal? Coal? Right? Black. Charcoal. Yeah? Have you done that? Huh? Have you seen some of the youngsters? May never have seen charcoal. I remember when I was a kid and we would go to some farms, you see the charcoal there. And sometimes, yeah, we will play in the water and it's all, it keeps on getting black and black. So here we are, 1 year after another, after another, after another. And the water, is it Prabhupada or the Bhagavad Gita? It says the Ganges of Krishna's topics keep flowing, and we keep hearing classes and we keep hearing kirtans. And then what you see coming out, it's black and black and black and black and dirty. Like that. But let's remember this. 2, 3, 10. Bhagavatam. Akama sarvokamava. Keep doing devotional service. Keep chanting. Keep taking the medicine. So just to summarize, since we are touching a very, as you can notice, I didn't delve much into the demigod worship side of things. Prabhupada refers to demigod worship, and Krishna also in Bhagavad Gita, as a manifestation of having material desires, right? And for many of us that come from the Western countries, we didn't even have knowledge that there were demigods. We had some idea of angels or something like that, but not in the context of how here Bhagavatam explains the, what do you call? The demigods, the revelation, fulfilling the desires, the various officials. You know, like when you go to, some of us, we go to the FRO, we say the officials there, and then they sign for you, they do the papers, very bureaucratic. Yeah? So these demigods, these devatas, are like that. They are in charge of giving us material things, right? As I said, I didn't delve much into it, but the idea is that Krishna, he fulfills the desires of those who ask benedictions from the demigods. Why? Because Krishna, as it would be explained in the next verse, he says it's a special mercy. This is his special mercy. That although you have material, we have material, some of us, not everyone, have material desires, still, if we are doing the right thing, then Krishna will fulfill those desires. But more than anything, he will eventually bring us to real position, which is devotional service. Now, I'm going to be a bit ahead of time. I know some questions may come and say, so what you're saying is that if I worship demigods, then eventually I'm going to get devotional service. So we have to be careful with this. Prabhupada explains in 7th chapter, text 20, in those purports, and also here, that these are not just ordinary demigod worshippers. These are demigod worshippers that are sometimes called Mahatmas. Why? Because they have the right understanding. What is that understanding? That the demigods are parts and parcels of Krishna. So if somebody worships demigods without that understanding, they won't get that same result. That's a fine point here. But so, as I said, to summarize the presentation of this verse and the explanation by Srila Prabhupada is that we need to be convinced that by performing devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, serving the devotees, my heart one day, as Prabhupada explains, from charcoal to diamond, right? So do you believe that that will happen? I mean, it's hard for me to believe, honestly. But that's a question that we have to ask ourselves. You know, we know. You don't have to disclose in front of everybody. It is a personal exercise. You know, go inside, reflect, and see all the desires, you know, that we have in there. And Prabhupada's offered Harinam Chintamani. That's what it means. That we chant this name, and then this charcoal will become a diamond. One day, someday, some lifetime. Yeah? That's the faith. Ashrada. Ashradava. So, what do we do? Who remembers what to do? What the Bhagavatam says? What the Acharyas explain? I won't embarrass anybody. So, the benefit of India is that we have still remnants of Varnashram Dharma here. But all this, it's prompting us to take saintly association, right? Very beautiful. Sridhar Prabhu was saying that every 3 hours, right, in India or so, you drive this way, that way, whichever way you choose, you will find a holy place. Every 3 hours, he said, like that. Even some places, much less. Sometimes you walk a few meters and you find one holy place after the other. Yeah, Mayapur is like that. You just walk a few blocks and then, you know, everything is there. So all this auspiciousness that surrounds us in India, in the holy places, or in temples around the world, they have one purpose. And that purpose is that we go to the sadhu, we go to the saintly devotee, and we take shelter from him, we take instructions from him, we take the opportunity to perform some service. In fourth canto, Srila Prabhupada says that during our lifetime, right, in the presence of the spiritual master, we should try to do something. Something doesn't matter, as menial as possible. Something. Right? And as I said, when we read the biographies of Srila Prabhupada, we see how many devotees did so many things for Prabhupada. Even sometimes very insignificant. I was hearing some time ago one pastime of Indrajyutna Maharaj. And he said that after his initiation, you know, it's standard practice, you have to give Guru Dakshin. So he has given all his money when he joined the temple, so he had no money. And then he took initiation, he received initiation through letter or something, I forgot that. But the point is that he somewhat forgot to get a Guru Dakshin for Prabhupada. But at some point he remembered, I have to get something. So if I'm not mistaken, he got $10 or $20. Devotees were very poor at that time and struggling to pay the rent and all that. So Prabhupada came. The next time Prabhupada came, he had those $10 or $20, I forgot. Then Prabhupada visited a temple. I don't remember which temple it was in America. And then he forgot about it. He had it saved, but he forgot about it. So Prabhupada was leaving, right, after a few days. In Maharaj, at that time, Brahmacharya, I think he was Grihastha then, he remembered, oh, Guru Dakshin. So he ran, and Prabhupada was already climbing in the car. So he ran up, you know, got his through his things, and then he pulled the bill and he ran down to Prabhupada, and then he gave him the $10 or $20. Because Prabhupada was emphasizing at that time, and he remembered that he was saying in his classes, he was this is the early days of ISKCON, so he had created the BBT fund, and he said this is the most important. He was pushing that point, help me to produce these books, help me to distribute these books. So the BBT fund was like Prabhupada's heart. So anyway, so Maharaj goes and gives him the $10 or $20, and Prabhupada, what is this? And then he says, oh, it's Guru Dakshin Prabhupada. Oh, very nice, thank you very much. So he left. After a few weeks, Prabhupada wrote back to him, you know, thanking him. He says, this means a lot to me. I remember exactly the words, but how Maharaj explains is that, what is $10, $20 now for us? ISKCON has become like a multi-millionaire organization around the world. Pretty much everywhere you go now, devotees are quite well settled by Krishna's mercy. But still, Prabhupada could see the intention that his disciple, his new disciple, had in helping him, in giving him just $10, $20. Prabhupada, this means a lot. This means a lot to me. Yeah. How much money George Harrison gave for the Krishna book? 10,000. 10,000, 20,000, something like that, for the Krishna book, something like that. You know, but Prabhupada, so much blessing, so many blessings. I don't know how much the golden brick here costs, but, you know, now imagine how many blessings. So that is the point that Bhagavatam tries to emphasize. How can we get these blessings? Because the blessings are those things that will counteract our material disease, our material desires, our addiction to material desires. Sri Guru Charanerati, Eise Utamgati. I'm very attached and very obsessed with enjoying my senses. So if we can switch that into I'm very attached to give pleasure to the senses of the spiritual master or Krishna or his devotees, then my life is perfected. But that only can be achieved if we stick to the process. Yeah? That is the instruction that Srila Prabhupada is giving us. Not only in his words, but also his example, his determination. So we're going to stop here because we don't want to go overboard. The point of this verse is that worshippers of demigods are gradually benefited by the Supreme Lord by rising them to the real standard of devotional service. That's what it's explaining this verse, and Srila Prabhupada had elaborated on this point. So if anyone has any questions, comments, suggestions, corrections, most welcome. Any questions? Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Pramanandi Hariyad.